Chapter 31. Adamantua, Orbital. Admiral Kiran had drawn his sabre. He'd done it subconsciously, his mind on the fight. The light on the bridge gleamed off its exposed blade. It was a habit of his during a void fight. The sword would play no part in a battle between behemoth warships, but Kiran always felt better with a weapon in his hand. He had even admitted to his officers, just between them, over dinner in his stateroom, that he had a fear and a shame of dying unarmed. "When death comes for me, I won't go quietly," he had said. The bridge officers, manning the stations and consoles around him, diligent and determined, saw the sword come out of its scabbard and knew what it meant. They were going to deliver death to the best of their considerable ability, but they were awaiting death too. The bridge of the Azimuth was a place of pandemonium. Alarms sounded, most of them notifications of damage to other decks, some of them target or proximity alerts triggered by the attacking warships. The air was rank with smoke from artifice deck fires. Crewmen rushed in all directions, delivering data or attempting frantic repairs on crashed bridge systems. For now, the Strategium was working again. On it, Kiran could see the ships of his line, a curve of green icons hooked like a claw into the near-space region of Adamantua. He could see the enemy, too, a blizzard of red icons spilling from the hazard marker of the rogue moon. The task force fleet was outnumbered 30 or 40 ships to one. A bridge officer did not need years of training at the Imperial College of Fleet Strategy to know how this was going to end.
"The odds are too great," said Maskar. "We run, obviously, we run."
Kiran shook his head.
"No time, sir. They'd bring us down stone dead before we ever made it to translation."
"Then what?"
asked Maskar, horrified.
"Tell the Lord Commander to make a full statement of the events as we know them and send it via astropathic link as fast as possible. I will buy him as much time as I can, but it won't be long. We will take as many of them with us as we can, General."
Maskar looked at him.
"Quickly,"
Kiran said, tightening his grip on his sword. Maskar saluted him. Kiran saluted back. The Astra Militarum commander turned and hurried towards Heth, who was at the Vox station across the bridge.
"Gunnery!"
Kiran yelled.
"Gunnery, aye."
"Status?"
"Status, effective."
"Target selection is now at my station. Primary batteries live."
"Primary live, aye."
"Secondary batteries may fire at will."
Kiran drew his free hand across the touch-sensitive hololithic plate of his console, aligning targets in order of priority.
"Autoloaders live,"
a sub-commander called out.
"Gunports open,"
yelled another.
"Let's kill them,"
said Admiral Kiran. He stabbed his finger at the glass to activate the first pre-programmed firing sequence. The Azimuth's main forward batteries and spinal mount fired. The recoil stresses made the vast ship's superstructure groan. Beams of energy lashed out from the ship, followed by slower-moving shoals of missiles and void torpedoes. An orc warship died in a ball of light, like a sun going nova. A second ship ripped open, spilling its mechanical guts into the void in a cloud of oil and gas and flame, tumbling end over end, inertial stability lost. Kiran tapped the second sequence. He was already loading a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, his eyes never leaving the complex mapping of the Strategium display. Two more kills, then another two. The Azimuth's shields began to reach saturation. He ordered them forwards on their coursing plasma engines. The real space drive swept them in to meet the rising enemy swarm. To port, one of his frigates was engulfed and annihilated. A second later, the fleet tender suffered a shield failure and was lost in a puff of superhot gas and vapor. To starboard, the grand cruiser Dubrovnik fended off swarms of orc boarding ships as it targeted and slew three bulk warships with its main batteries. It took the third with a passing broadside that shredded the monstrous attacker. Kiran saw the massive orc cruiser hoving in on an attack vector.
"Focus, shield, strength!"
he yelled.
"Starboard bearing!"
The cruiser began shelling and lacing the void with beamfire. The Azimuth shook, shields flaring, straining. Maskar crossed the shuddering deck to join Lord Commander Militant Heth.
"Summon the astropaths," Heth told him without looking up from the communication console. "We have to make this good. There will be data to send, as much as we can code and pack it."
"Yes, sir,"
said Maskar.
He signaled to aides to prepare the astropath chamber.
Look, said Heth, gesturing to the comms console. Look at this.
Various images were displayed on adjacent pict monitors. One was of the rogue moon, showing the macabre orc visage that had been mechanically created to glare out at them. Maskar could hear both coded transmission signals and noise bursts running through the Voxcaster station.
Help from the surface, Heth explained. The Major's biologists, we're unraveling some of the orc transmissions. It's all bloodthirsty threat, I think, nothing of substance. Just declarations of hatred and pronouncements of destruction. And this began about 3 minutes ago.
He indicated one image in particular, and then enlarged it onto a console's main overhead screen. The image made Maskar blench. It was a pict feed streamed through some exotic form of image capture system that was being broadcast directly to them. It was a transmission for their benefit, for the benefit of any victim the orcs came upon. There was little sense of scale, but Maskar appeared to be looking into the eyes of the most immense orc war boss. The creature was so mature, so vast and bloated, its features were distorted. Broken tusks, like tree trunks, jutted from the cliff edge of its lower jaw. It was staring right out of the screen, with tiny, gleaming yellow eyes, its jaw moving.
That bastard thing is aboard the moon, Heth said. It's their leader. I think he's the size of a damn hablock, Maskar. Saints of Terror, there hasn't been an orc boss that massive since Ulanor. I mean, they just don't develop to that size anymore. Look. Look, in the foreground. Those are green-skinned warriors. They look like children.
Save us, Maskar murmured.
Too late, my friend, said Heth. Look at the bastard. Look at him. Those noises we can hear, the noise bursts, it's him. His voice. He's talking to us.
Heth pointed to another display, one that showed the glaring face on the surface of the moon.
Look. See how the mechanical face moves? It's working in sync with that bastard thing. Look, the lips part and close at the same time. That's amplifying his voice, turning his vocalization into that infrasonic signal.
Maskar felt the ship jolt hard as its shields took more hits.
Oh, hell's teeth,
Heth moaned suddenly. He spotted something new. Other portals had opened in the surface of the attack moon. Three large circles like giant crater rims or the red storm spot on Jupiter. From them, vast glowing beams of energy were projecting down onto the surface of Adamantua. Within seconds, they could see something dark and blotchy flowing up the beams into the attack moon. Heth ramped up the magnification. It was rock, planetary matter. The attack moon was aiming immense gravity beams at Adamantua and harvesting its mass, sucking billions of tons of physical matter and mineral content from the crust and mantle.
What the hell is it doing? Asked Heth. I think, Maskar began, I think it might be refueling.
The attack moon clearly didn't require all the material it was swallowing to replenish its mass ratios. Huge chunks of impacted mineral deposits began spitting out of the moon's spaceward surface. The moon was manufacturing meteors and firing them at the Imperial ship positions using immense gravitic railguns. The Agincourt was blown in two by a direct strike from a rock projectile half its size. A huge chunk of quartz and iron, traveling at six times the speed of sound, raked the portside flank of the Grand Cruiser Dubrovnik and ripped away half its active shields. Heth was lost for words.
We've beaten them before, sir, Maskar said.
It was all he could find to say.
What? The Greens, sir. We've always beaten them before, even at Ulanor. The Emperor was with us then, Maskar, Heth replied darkly, and the damned Primarchs. It was a different time, a different age, an age of gods.
Damn right we stopped them then,
but they've grown strong again, stronger than ever, and we've grown weak. The Emperor's gone, his beloved sons too. But the Greenskins, throne, they've come just six damned weeks shy of Terror. No warning, no damned warning at all. They've never been this close.
They've got technological adaptations we've never seen before, not even on bloody Ulanor. Gravitation manipulation. Subspace tunneling. Gross teleportation. Whole planetary bodies, man. And they've all but exterminated one of the most able chapters of Space Marines in one strike.
The Emperor protects,
Maskar said. He used to, said Heth. But we're the only ones here today.